Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Today we're discussing the exciting world of stem cells and regenerative medicine, a field that's transforming the way we approach health, healing, and longevity. Joining us is Dr. Jeffrey Gross, a true pioneer in the shift from traditional surgery to regenerative treatments that are reshaping medical care. He's here to share the fascinating science behind stem cells and how they could hold the key to achieving optimal health and even recovering from chronic conditions. If you felt frustrated with conventional medicine and all the approaches that traditional stem cell therapy might just be the breakthrough you've been waiting for. So if you're interested in learning how to extend your lifespan and improve your health, don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. We're about to unlock the transformative potential of stem cells, and it all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Joining us next is a neurological surgeon specializing in spine procedures and athletic injuries with practices in Orange County and Henderson, Nevada. He's also passionate about longevity and biohacking, founding Recelebrate, where he's focusing on anti-aging and regenerative medicine. With a background in biochemistry and molecular cell biology from UC Berkeley and medical training from George Washington University, he's built an impressive career. He's been recognized as a top neurological surgeon by HealthTap and Top Doctor, and he's committed to using cutting-edge treatments with the cutting edge of the scalpel being the last resort. Welcome to the show, Dr. Jeffrey Gross.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much.
So great to have you join us. Such a fascinating topic. First, share with us how you went from traditional medicine to stem cell therapy.
I credit my patients for this. I was trained traditionally to take care of patients with neck and back problems and brain problems. And, you know, we would try for spine problems, therapies and time and medications, maybe even some spinal injections. And when those things failed, which they do sometimes, or were inadequate, we would suggest, hey, I guess next on the menu is talking about surgery. But so many people are in that gap where they're, well, those things didn't work enough, but they're not quite ready for surgery. And I agreed with them. And they would say things to me like, how about stem cells? And I finally decided to, you know, go to different annual meetings and get my education. And I then got stimulated and retrained. And here we are.
Wow, great. For those not familiar, can you define exactly what stem cell therapy is and how is it administered?
We use the phrase stem cell therapy generally. What this is really called is regenerative medicine, where we tap back into the body's own innate natural ability to create itself when you're younger, to grow, to heal, to repair and maintain. Those abilities become degraded and lost over time, but we're tapping back into that using either growth factors from your own body called platelet-rich plasma or PRP, or stem cells, which are, you know, cells that have not yet been tapped into from your own source or other sources that have the ability to help repair and regenerate, and or stem cell signaling factors called extracellular vesicles or exosomes.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up, because a big misconception is that, you know, they think all stem cell treatments come from embryonic tissue, but that's just not the case, right? It can actually be from your own.
Actually, no stem cell treatments that are allowed to be performed come from embryonic tissue of any kind, just so we're clear. They come from, the youthful sources come from perinatal sources, meaning at the time of a planned C-section, a mother can donate her amniotic fluid, umbilical cord, and parts no longer needed.
So that is a big myth. A lot of people believe that with the embryo. I'm glad you clear that up.
They do.
Yeah. Could someone take stem cells? I'm curious, from themselves when they're younger, let's say somebody in their 20 goes, you know, I want to take these and I want to store them and have them improve my health when I get older. Can they do that?
100%. You can even, if you're having a child, you can store these tissues for your own use later as well, not just for your child's use. So there's been an expansion on that in the recent years. But yes, you can. In fact, it makes it's smarter to store things when you're younger. Men are doing it with semen for fertility issues. They want to have a child later. And you could do it with your own stem cell or biologics, whether it's stem cells or growth factors or what have you.
Interesting. Now, when we talk about using them, what would they be for? Like, what are some health conditions that can be treated using this stem cell therapy?
The low-hanging fruit would be structural problems like joints and spine, because we have amazing results in helping people regenerate their own cartilage and hopefully helping to stop and or reverse the effects of wear and tear on joints called osteoarthritis, sometimes referred to vaguely as bone-on-bone problems, and help prevent the need for joint or spine surgeries. So that's the low-hanging fruit. The other things we see benefit are use intravenous, as opposed to injecting into the joint areas, intravenous or IV use for people with inflammatory problems, whether it's autoimmune, organ type issues or failure, accumulation of chronic inflammation from various problems like certain infections that have an inflammatory component. For example, COVID infections tend to have a lasting inflammatory component, Lyme's disease, things like that. Those are the low-hanging fruit. Also, one can use this to help the recovery from, say, a heart attack or even a stroke or something like that. But they can also be used preventative to slow the physiologic and cellular effects of aging. And people use it as a preventative or biohacking tool to do so.
Yeah, you brought a key word that we're hearing a lot of, autoimmune disease. What about like inflammatory bowel disease, like Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, so common? Anything on the horizon for help with that, this regenerative therapy?
No, not on the horizon. In the present, actually, Doc. Any of the autoimmune problems that have an inflammatory component, which they all do, like inflammatory bowel, Crohn's disease, thyroiditis, various arthritis problems. We use the term arthritides, you've heard the plural. Those types of issues tend to have a good response to stem cell-based regenerative approaches because it reduces the inflammatory burden, which is really causing the damage.
Right. How do they get that? Let's say someone has IBS, irritable bowel. Would they right into the colon or into the bloodstream? IV, how would they?
That would be an IV approach. That's very simple, an IV approach.
Got it. What about, you mentioned, you know, a lot of the sports injuries and spine. What about rotator cuff or like meniscus tears? Could stem cell help regenerate the tissue? Or some of these just require surgery because it's too far gone?
Well, there's always going to be some element of joints that are too far gone for the current regenerative technologies. But yeah, we have excellent histories of being able to take people and help them regrow and restore their cartilage. We have before and after MRIs showing increase in the thickness and the height of the cartilage and the maintenance of the cartilage. It's done very strategically and focused with targeting based on high resolution MRIs with some special bells and whistles. I continue to be amazed by what stem cell biologics can do for people and their cartilages.
Yeah, it's so futuristic. If you heard about this 20, 30 years ago, you think, yeah, that's a science fiction movie, but it's happening now, as you say. It's not the future. Very interesting. What about lifespan increasing? Could this end up being the fountain of youth that so many people are searching for?
I don't want to over-advertise. You know, I'm not Ponce de Leon here, but if you slow the accumulation of chronic inflammation during your life, you are slowing the cellular or biological age process. And we can do biological age testing, whether it's cellular markers or circulating markers, and study this. And we have seen people have improvement in those markers, as well as inflammatory markers like C-reactive protein and things like that from these treatments, usually IV treatment. So that is a good method if you want to pursue a health span and anti-aging approach during your life.
Yeah. What about now? What are some of the most common surgeries you've seen that have been able to be avoided by using that less invasive stem cell or regenerative medicine?
The number one is knee replacement. We get great results in the knees. It's sort of the low-hanging fruit of the low-hanging fruit. Anyone told they're bone on bone and they need a knee replacement, that's someone I'd like to give a chance to avoid that with a single procedure, injection procedure.
Wow. And so and I hear that all the time with patients, I got bone on bone and I'll feel like, are you sure? It's like it's got good movement. And I think a lot of them are being told bone on bone when there's still some life left. And it's like, let me see your x-ray. That's not bone on bone. Here's normal. Here's yours. And they look, they go, well, why was I told bone on bone? I think it's just surgery is money. So you said one time, when would people see a result? Is it something that's immediate or is it a few weeks? When would people see results of this?
It's a bimodal response to the symptoms, meaning there's an initial peak of reduced pain and improved function because the biologics are heavily anti-inflammatory. It's like getting a cortisone shot without the long-term downside of cortisone shots. And then it takes about 3 to 6 months to start to have material benefit in the cartilage thickening and the symptom improvement and functional improvement that go with it. sometimes we see 30, 40% improvement in the thickness of the meniscus or the articular cartilage of the knee, for example, by the six-month mark.
Amazing. I'm curious, what toll does our daily lifestyle choices have on, you know, the longevity effects of regenerative treatments? Obviously, football players, oh, my knee's bent, I'm going to go play football. That's not too conducive to healing, right? Is there certain things that they need to watch? Or is it like bionic now because it's even stronger?
No, I think lifestyle is a huge thing. When we look at the loss of cartilage in a joint, it really is a metabolic disease of the cells in the bone. That's osteoarthritis. It's a degenerative problem, and it comes from either repetitive trauma and or diet, exercise, sleep, and all the epigenetic things you can do. So you really want to pursue an anti-inflammatory lifestyle to optimize the response from a regenerative treatment and make it last many, many years and slow down the degeneration.
Yeah. If something as simple as somebody sprains their ankle, is that something right away? Should they go consider this?
It depends. I mean, most people heal from a sprained ankle with therapy, ice, and things like that. If it's significant and they need to get back to functioning quicker, you know, maybe they're an avid runner and they have a race coming up or something. I see these regeneratives, and I have used it for this purpose, I see them helping to accelerate the healing process in a more youthful, regenerative state.
Interesting. Can you share maybe a story or two on stem cell treatments, how it made a dramatic difference in some conditions? And what makes your mouth drop and go, wow, I still can't believe it, even though it happens? What's some great, great success stories that you've encountered?
A favorite patient of mine is, I think she was 79 at the time, a sweet lady who I had seen initially for low back pain, but she admitted that she had, you know, this diagnosis of arthritis. So we did some blood tests, and she really didn't have rheumatoid arthritis. She just had a collection of age-related joint degeneration called osteoarthritis. And she had aches and pains in her feet and knees and hands. And she didn't complain about it much because she was just told, oh, honey, don't worry, you have arthritis. You'll be fine. So she was rather dismissed. She would make these crafts. She would paint these rocks, and she brought me one for the office. It was sort of a really nice thing she liked to do, and they were cool. So she couldn't do them anymore. So I said, you know what? You should try this IV. So we tried stem cell-derived exosomes IV. She had improvement in her joint pain. She had a significant benefit across the board throughout her body, and she began to paint again, paint her rocks. Interestingly, she had been partially blind in one eye for most of her life. And she told me she could start seeing light again. And this was nothing I expected or thought about, but it just wowed me. And then she asked me, well, when do I need to do this again? And I said, you let me know. And it was about 2 years later, I heard from her. She said, I'm starting to feel pain again. I said, well, let me know when you want to come in. And we did another one.
Wow.
Yeah. So it doesn't always last 2 years, these IVs in this setting. But in her case, she got an amazing result. And I just adore her.
Oh, it's like bringing somebody's life back. It's like a garden that's dying, and you know, you try everything and it's not growing. You say, you know what? I'll put some new seeds in this soil and look at it grow.
Yeah, a little fertilizer, right?
Yeah, you're putting new seeds in fertilizer. I love that. Does insurance cover regenerative medicine, or is it not considered mainstream enough and accepted?
This is odd, right? None of these procedures are approved for marketing claims by the Food and Drug Administration. So we can't make any claims that we're curing or treating, even though I'm telling you individual stories today. And every patient, of course, is an individual. But the low-level version of this is called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. Interestingly, the insurance companies who finally do look at the dollars going out figured out that platelet-rich plasma injections are cheaper than a surgery. So they started approving them, even though the FDA hasn't certified this for marketing claims. So I think that you'll see higher potency regenerative biologics like stem cells and exosomes being covered down the line. Now, if you have an HSA account or FSA account, health savings account or flexible spending account, as part of your insurance, you can use that any way you like. In short, we're starting to see it covered since money is the tail wagging the dog of healthcare and insurance. As soon as they start looking deeper, they'll continue to, I think, approve these things in lieu of surgery because it saves them money. And of course, it's less invasive and less risky.
Yeah. What about, are these injections painful? Is it something you've got to really muffle the walls because there's screams coming from each room?
Or? No. We do this in a sterile, you know, environment, an injection facility with a little bit of sedation, twilight sedation. So no one has to feel this. If it's something really superficial, we can do it in the office with some numbing cream and what have you. And it's very brief. But the deeper joint-based type of procedures, we make people comfortable. We want them to have a good experience, not just get better, but to say, hey, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm curious, does a doctor's technique play a factor in the success of stem cell therapy? Can anyone with an MD degree just dive in, or is there specific certifications that consumers should look for when finding a practitioner?
There's not an official certification. There are a bunch of, you know, ones you can get, and I have some, but they didn't require much, so I wouldn't hang your hat on that. But I think it's experience, and it's the feel you get when you're with that doctor, how detailed, how thorough, how do they do things? And the hard work is done ahead of time. You know, is the patient optimized? Is their lifestyle in check? Are they behaving? Because we don't want to do a procedure or injection and have them, you know, not be active and not eat right and not be taking care of themselves. It'll end up not being worth it. So those are factors. And then, of course, targeting. So you know, we get these very specific MRIs. I'm very detailed about and obsessive about where we inject and how we inject and do the measurements and all that. So if you're winging it, it's not as good. We'll put it that way. So patients should really shop around.
Yeah, makes sense. I know, you know, this is fascinating, the regenerative medicine, but it's still in its infancy compared to what the future holds. As this technology progresses, what do you foresee as the future trajectory of health and longevity? Throw your Star Trek hat on. What's the future hold?
Well, not just throw my Star Trek hat. We've got some projects we're working on that are part of some very coming projects, coming availabilities very shortly. One is specific types of exosomes that can be separated out from a general population of stem cell-derived exosomes. And these are from immune cells that are designed to identify and selectively kill cancer cells. So I think you can guess what that could be used for, both as a preventative and an augmentative treatment of sorts. So we've got that going. We've also got other exosomes that we're working to get that are chock full of mitochondria to allow something called mitochondrial transfer therapy, which is where you take someone with frailty and reduce muscle mass, reduce bone mass, you know, sort of older years, and you can give these, they donate mitochondria to the cells to provide a milieu or a setting where tissues can, you can put on muscle mass and bone mass, because both muscle mass and bone density are associated with longevity. So these will be ultimately, back to your question, for health and longevity, these will be useful.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, muscle rebuilding, that would help, I guess, the elderly from falls. That's a big common cause of death. You would strengthen their legs. That's fascinating. What about for all the skeptics out there on the ability of healing and longevity using these stem cells? What message do you have for them? Is there any science they can explore? What do you recommend for these skeptics?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a skeptic, I'm not here to convince you of anything. I'm here to educate. Everything we do is based on very good medical literature that's published. Most of it does come from outside the US, because here in the US, we are late to the party. A lot of the protocols we follow out of Europe, for example, have over 15-year follow-ups published. Asia has wonderful literature on this. We are just behind because of political and economic pressures that suppress the development of things here. But it's here. You just have to find it.
Yeah. Now, you're the founder of Recelebrate. Share with us how you keep your treatments at the forefront of all this medical innovation. Tell us about it.
I want to do what's best for my patients. So I'm constantly reading and studying and re-educating, offering options to patients that are outside the usual cookbook, institutionalized care that you'll get from a governmental payer or a third-party insurance payer who will only authorize certain things based on their cookbook. So we do what's best for patients, not what's best for someone's insurance health plan.
Yeah, I love the Recelebrate C-E-L-L in the middle. Wow, how'd you get that? Was that something that was available?
We thought about it and, you know, and it was cool. Thank you for noticing.
I love that. I'm a word nerd. They call me word nerd. So it was like, wow, that's something I would have grasped for. I love that. That's awesome. Give us some guidance. Obviously, you know, you're the go-to, but, you know, if people listening around that aren't accessible is easy to get to you, what guidance do you offer somebody exploring regenerative treatments for extended health and ailment correction?
Search your area. We all have access to the internet mostly. So just put in, you know, knee pain, stem cell, and your city, and see if there's someone around you that does something. There's a lot of advertising from outside our country. They'll sometimes key in on some of those keywords. You don't have to leave the country. There are wonderful places outside the country, of course, you can go to, but you don't have to. We have it here. Many of the big metropolitan areas have people like me that do this kind of work. Most of this I do out of my Las Vegas, Nevada office, which is the Henderson office, which is a suburb. This is something we start remotely. We get on a video, we look at your labs, we talk, we get to know you. We order a new MRI if you need one. We can do a share screen and show you the images. And we only invite people to come visit us in Las Vegas who are a candidate and are open to this. In fact, today is a procedure day. I'm going, after we finish our recording here, I'm off to the surgery center. We have people that have flown in from all over the country.
Wow. And if they go to Las Vegas, you allow an exemption for the rule, right? They can say what goes on in Vegas because you want people to share this info.
Well played. Yes, of course. That's the only thing they're allowed to talk about.
That's great. The minute we have left, is there anything else you'd like to share that we didn't cover today?
You know, everyone should, if you have an inkling and this is an option you'd like to talk about, look for someone or call our office. We're happy to talk to new people and hear your story. And we find new things that we can try to use this on. If there's good literature on it somewhere and someone's reported benefit and it has an inflammatory basis, it could help you. So we've done all kinds of things, but don't just rely on things that your doctor said that he learned or she learned 20 years ago when he or she was trained by someone 20 years earlier. There's slowness in medicine. So pursue options, look for the cutting edge, at least talk to someone so you have that in your list of things you've considered.
Exactly. Good point. Like a lot of people call it dinosaur medicine, you know, get with the times. Yeah. And you're doing that. That's great. And that if they have a dinosaur pain, like a lot of sore ass in the rear end, you'll help that too. So you can't help the dinosaur helmets. Thanks for so much for spending time with us. To learn more, go to recelebrate.com. And let me spell that for you. That's RECELLEBRATE, recelebrate. Love that title. And while there, be sure and check out all the free resources available, including blog posts and audios and videos sharing this vital information on regenerative health and longevity. And fill out a brief questionnaire on this site and see if stem cell activation is right for you. You can follow Dr. Gross on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Recelebrate, just like the website. You can follow me on Facebook and X at Dr. David Friedman. On Instagram, I'm at Dr. D. Friedman. And if you heard something today that somebody you know needs to hear, send them a link to this podcast. It's available to yourgoodhealthradio.com and radiomd.com. And while there, peruse our podcast library. Share the segment with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. I always say it's sharing is caring. Don't keep this info to yourself. You can also subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.